Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki here. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, and you?
I'm doing good. We've got some friends hanging out. Jacob's not here yet, but that's nothing new.
Of course.
But instead, we have friends hanging out instead. Stemmage is here. Grant Henry is back. Grant, how are you doing?
I'm good. What's shaking?
Not much. What's shaking Sweet. With you?
I'm juiced. I had caffeine today, so I'm just like bouncing off the walls. like a pinball, some might say.
I'm glad you specify that, because the only time I've ever heard anyone say juiced, it was in relation to drugs. So,
well, caffeine's a drug, so it's just, I guess,
yeah, technically it is. You are correct.
I go ultra casual with my abuse. just a cup of coffee, that's all. So
on the down today, low.
That's right.
I'm a casual drug abuser. It's only caffeine.
That's right.
Yeah. And then also joining us, Timber Webb is back on the show. Timber, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing good. Not bouncing off the wall.
No.
But we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll
you just had a stream earlier, and now you're back doing another stream, this time with me.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So how's everything going? Timber, how's things going with you? We haven't had you on the show in a while. How's things going in your neck of the woods?
Good. I moved, and I've been playing a lot of scary games. And both those make my life great, so can't complain. Like, everything's going really well.
Any highlights that you're playing? Anything you want to tell us?
Anything
super spooky?
What isn't a highlight this month, I'll tell you.
Just name them all. I'm good with that. Maybe I'll find something I want to play.
I've been like ignoring horror games, watching a lot of horror movies this season, but missing out on the games. And for some reason, I don't know why. So, if you got any good leads.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I wrote them down because I knew it was going to happen. So I got to be prepared.
Someone's prepared on this show. We aren't.
I'm always prepared, just you're not for the lying. Things you want me prepared for. What you want me prepared for is irrelevant to what I am prepared for. It's fine.
So, Timber, tell us your list.
Oh, boy, my little list. So, first off, I beat A Plague's Tale right before it left Game Pass, and I'm too scared to... Well, I started the first 5 minutes of A Plague's Tale, Requiem, the new one.
I'm reviewing that tonight.
Yeah.
I almost started talking about it.
I got killed in the tutorial and walked away, and I was like, I need to be in a better headspace for this.
Is it an achievement to die in the tutorial?
No.
Yeah,
it very much isn't.
It's just a bummer.
it's sad.
yeah, but I'm super excited. Like, I'm just those children feel like my children, so I'm like emotionally invested. So I will get to it. But I did sink more time into Amori, which is surprise horror, really eerie, very simple game. Paratropic was incredible. I almost cried. That almost made me cry on stream. So wow. It's like I had to pull myself together in Paratropic.
Paratropic, the PS1.
Style. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. Yeah. Super strange. Super strange. Worth playing a few times.
That game's awesome. It's very cheap. Everybody go play it.
I don't think I've heard of that
one. Yeah, there's a few in that vein. I'm playing another one tomorrow, Bloodwash, the same guy that did Nun Massacre, Puppet something. That also has that same aesthetic, that like throwback strangeness. And it really, really works as a horror tactic. Something so creepy about it.
Looking at this Paratopic game now.
Yeah. It's wild. Like, if you're into, I mean, I'm like a kind of a, I'm a Lynch guy. It plays into that kind of, that kind of stuff. If you're into that, I mean, and it's got the PS1 aesthetic too. So
if you're a fan of Deadly Premonition, here.
Whoa, who
the, this is out of nowhere.
This podcast is haunted.
Hi, Jacob.
Hey.
I didn't notice the noise when people usually join in. Jesus, that scared me.
Just out of nowhere. Oh, I got a story to tell.
It's very in theme with Halloween.
Any other games?
Games. I must you want my games? Alien Isolation, I played. That was like my pre-Halloween game.
I've still never played that.
Yeah, do it if you hate yourself, because it is truly a nightmare. Works. Yeah, yeah, then this is right up your alley, because it is punishing in so many ways. It's fantastic, really. Amnesia Rebirth just came out.
Yeah, just hit Game Pass, too. Both the Amnesias, Soma hit Game Pass?
Yeah, I think all of them did, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Rebirth, I especially am fond of Rebirth.
Have we mentioned on the show that too much stuff comes to Game Pass? Have we said that?
No, there's no such thing. Too much leaves Game Pass.
True.
That's what happened.
It is sad when games leave, but
there's never too many games coming to it. There's just always too many leaving it. That's all.
That is always sad when they leave. I saw that Plague Sale was leaving, and I like started getting sweaty. I was like, okay, all right, we gotta buckle down. We gotta finish this. Ghostbusters is great. Also, Ghostbusters is so good.
There's one, if you like the weird PS1 crossover horror stuff, there's this one called Night of the Consumers. And I think it's $1.50 on Itch. But and you could always just kind of, it's a very short game. You could probably just watch a YouTube video if you just want to get a taste of it. But it's basically like you are working, you're working at a shopping in a grocery store, and you're having to help people. That's the main idea, but it's very weird and it gets very dark, and the music and sound design is really cool. It's that. worth checking out. It's just freaking creepy.
I mean, it's retail, of course. It gets dark.
Yes. Yeah, that does sound like my nightmare.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's a good. That's kind of a fun, strange indie one.
I don't miss working retail at all.
Oh.
I still think the scariest game I've ever played is Perception, an old indie game where you play as a blind girl and it's in a haunted house. And I played a little bit of that and I set it down because the ghost showed up, and obviously you can't hear it or can't see it, but you can hear it. And I saved it and I put it down. I've not gone back to it since. I was like,
Was it just the audio design? Was that good?
It's the audio and the visual, because you do everything via echolocation with loud noises. So to see stuff, you bang your cane against things, but that also attracts the ghost.
Oh.
So in order to see your environment to get around at all, and it doesn't give you a big circle to see anything in, you have to constantly hit your cane to see stuff, and it just... Between just the anxiety of not knowing where anything was, mixed with the audio quality, it just, yeah, no. I think it was a closet, I think is where I hid my character, and then I saved and quit.
Considerate of you to put them somewhere safe, though. Like, here, you stay here, I'll be back, maybe, just hang.
Well, did that specifically to hide from the ghost. And then I sat there for a while, and the ghost hadn't left. And I was like, no, this is too stressful at this point.
He's just standing outside the door waiting for you to come out. Like, I just want to play.
Probably.
With your soul.
The last one I'll mention, because the stress reminded me, if you want to stay stressed, play Cold Silence. It's a platformer.
Silence.
Yeah, super platformer.
Super white one.
Oh,
yeah.
The snowy one.
Yes.
Yep. I miss no opportunity to bring it up when horror is, because that game was so hard and so scary at times that in order to play it, I had to have Jessica, my coworker who played it, streamed it with me, tell me stories of like from Easter, like just family stories to keep me grounded in reality. And it worked. It was incredible. But yeah, that was, whoo, what a rush.
Oh. And I didn't think that one would be that scary. Like, what makes it scary?
Yeah.
The ghost just runs after you. The controls are a tad shoddy, like on purpose, because it's like a 2D platformer.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot of moments where if you don't get that jumps like absolutely right, like you're fucked. And you have to restart it at like a really far away save point, and it just.
Yeah, you gotta go quick. You gotta go quick. It's rough. It's rough, but yeah, and it's like your own. So the trick is, whatever you do, it does, but usually somehow better. Like I'll miss a jump and like struggle to get up, and it'll be like, I got no problem. Now you're dead. Like, cool. Thanks, me.
So. Oh man, Grant, what horror games are you enjoying?
Well, like I said, I've been watching mostly movies and not playing a lot of horror games. I did play some Scorn. I know that's coming up today. Yes. And then anyone ever heard of a little game called Resident Evil?
No.
Let me tell you.
Sounds like an indie title.
Is that the one with Triangle Head? That's the one with...
Yes, Triangle Head.
With the nurses, right?
Yes, Triangle Head. The nurses...
No, it's the one where Sonic the Hedgehog has to clear out that mansion.
Oh, like, not for nothing would play the, it. Hold on.
With the Dustbuster, right?
Right.
Yeah, Sonic. Yeah.
I'm getting so confused because I've never actually played Resident Evil before.
I ignore all of that.
I just had a flashback from
that to Resident Evil based on what we have said today. Sonic, I just had what the hell?
I just flashed back to Magfest with the food pyramid head cosplay. Joe, do you remember this?
Oh God, yeah.
He's in like a chef's outfit, and it has his head has the like the food pyramid on it, and he carries a cleaver.
Oh, that's my shit. Man.
Sorry,
that was a good costume.
Digress. Well, you don't need to. Let's see. Horror games. Gosh, I don't think I've played anything scary. I started Alan Wake for the first time a few months ago, but didn't go back to it. I've been trying to knock out a few Game Pass games before they disappeared, and I haven't gone back to it. And so, my horror gaming. I'm wearing a Freddy shirt right now, but I haven't been playing a bunch of any money horror games. I've been big into the movies this year, not as much into the games. I've been playing games, but not as much horror stuff. So, I'm excited about Dead Space and Callisto Protocol. So I'm just like kind of waiting on those. I guess
that one just went gold. Callisto Protocol went gold this week.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
And won't get a release in Japan.
Yeah. It went gold and got canceled in Japan.
Well, I didn't get canceled. They just said, fuck you. We're not going to change our game. And I seriously applaud that.
What did they demand being changed in it? I didn't know anything about this.
Just gross shit. Something that Japan didn't like, which is really ironic considering the stuff in Japanese movies. But they didn't like something in there, and they were like, "No, we're not going to change this for a Japanese."
I don't understand that because they allowed Dead Space, and I don't think Dead Space was edited in any way.
I don't know.
Part of me wants to say it was.
I don't know.
Like I know Japan. Let's consult
Wikipedia.
Go ahead, Jacob. Make yourself useful for once.
Thank
Google,
you.
Google, get it.
Got him.
So is that Bloodwash game any good, Tamber? Did you play it yet?
I'll let you know tomorrow. Okay. I'm excited to try it because
post in the Discord. I'm curious because I saw it came out like 2 weeks ago or something on Xbox.
Yeah. Not to plug, but we'll also be streaming it tomorrow on the IDN Network channel.
So going back to Dead Space, EA's as marketing said that it was banned in Germany, China, and Japan. However, later on, they said, yeah, no, it wasn't actually banned anywhere.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a non-story? Like, it's just not...
Yeah, it's just not real.
Well, it's a great way to drum up some interest of the game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There you go, kids.
Sure.
Weird.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
Grant, you mentioned MAGFest. Are you going this year?
I'm going.
We did talk about that last time, didn't we?
Yeah, I'll be there this year.
We're going to see the one-ups who are celebrating the 20th anniversary.
Old men. They're old men. Old people. We're going to see some old people play some VGM.
Timber, have you ever been to MAGFest?
I have never been to MAGFest.
Have you ever considered going to MAGFest?
I might have once or twice.
We got to get the Xbox team out to MAGFest and make an appearance out there, and just get Phil Spencer out there, and we could do keg stands with him or something.
Yay, I'll get him on the phone right now. I really should, though.
I would love to see more people go to MAGFest. Actually, I would like to see less people go to MAGFest because I can't get a room this year. It is insane how bad the room lotteries are getting.
Oh, it's awful.
Grant, did you have to put up with a room lottery, or are you good?
I'm good, just because of band friends. Let's talk. Maybe so. Maybe like, because if you're having trouble getting in there, that's not cool. So I don't know. Let's keep talking.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
The whole thing's a pain in the butt, but
I'm hopefully going to have a panel again this year. Last year, me and Ian did a panel about being there for all 19 years. And it's basically because no one else was there, so we were able to get a panel.
Interesting.
They were just desperate for panels at that point. Yeah. We lost half the people involved with ours, and we were going to say, hey, we could just cancel. And they're like, no, if you can do anything, that's fine. So hopefully we're going to do it again this year. Just get a bunch of people together and tell MAGFest stories. And
before they put you back in the old folks home.
Yeah. I think this might be my last MAGFest, actually. I'm getting old. Well, I'm getting up there in years.
How are you going to tell me to go to MAGFest and be like, but I'm retired?
I know. You're really selling it.
If you go next year, I will go next year. How's that?
All right.
MAGFest 21. Deal. If you're going to MAGFest 21, I will go to MAGFest 21. And then we will do keg stands. No, we do shots. We don't get kegs there. We do shot contests.
Yeah, man, I'm in my 30s. I'm not doing a handstand for nothing. Let's be real.
Have you ever done a shot contest?
No.
No?
No. I drink for joy, not competition.
I assume that's where you just drink shot after shot until one of you passes out?
No. We, again, at MAGFest, we would do a shot competition where you would have to create your own video game-themed shot.
Oh, that would end so...
Oh, yeah, see, I'm back in. That sounds incredible.
You had to make your own mixture, your own unique mixture that no one else has made. You didn't read it out of, like, some bar mixture book or anything. It's just something that you came up with, and it's video game named. My buddy, he took bottom shelf vodka and mixed it with chipotle sauce and called it the Carnov.
That sounds disgusting.
It was disgusting, and it did not win the shot contest.
did he come close? Weird.
Good.
I was unfortunately a judge during that round.
He did that specifically because of that.
Yeah, I think for that one, I definitely would not want to be a judge. It sounds like you definitely get the better deal making the drinks.
Here's a fun fact. Someone who was supposed to judge that round, John St. John, Duke Nukem.
Yeah. He said supposed to, so he did not?
He chickened out because he did not want to do the chipotle sauce. Well,
yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't do it.
Chickened out.
Yeah, well, you know, he couldn't shoot it, so why drink it?
I ended up winning, actually, with, I called it the Donkey Kong Country. It was banana nectar, like the Goya banana nectar mixed with coconut rum.
Ooh. Mm.
That could be good.
That sounds really good.
Mm. Yep. That was my creation. And then the next year, I did Jaeger mixed with Yoo-Hoo and topped it with whipped cream and called it a
Jaeger. I would have that. Oh, I would have that. That would
Jaeger Ba-Bomb.
Oh, man. I remember that. I remember you telling me about that.
Speaking of like a drink that's like that, Pabst Blue Ribbon actually has a hard coffee out there now, and it is absolutely fucking delicious. There's no actual caffeine in it, and it tastes more like chocolate milk.
Okay. Wait, I don't know. Wait, can we back up for a second? So it's decaf coffee.
Right. That tastes more like chocolate milk.
With alcohol.
Yes.
Huh.
That tastes like chocolate milk.
Right.
I feel like that sounds like bad. Yeah, it sounds like bad branding. Like, just call it adult chocolate milk. It's just adult chocolate milk.
They might not be able to. Like, I mean, people might then just be like, oh, they're trying to get kids to drink it. Ugh. Like, that's what I would figure, but...
Interesting.
I highly recommend it.
It does sound very good.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected it.
Aki, what about you? Any good Halloween games or shots?
I mean, the only Halloween games I've been playing are my review games, so. Which Fair. Would be Scorn, Signalis, Plague Tale, kind of. I don't really find it particularly scary, so.
How many hours did you put into Plague Tale?
I don't know. I don't even know how to find that information out, to be honest. Just tell me what to do. I'm actually on Game Club. Where the fuck is that? I don't know how to do Game Club shit.
You gotta mess with your Xbox more. You gotta learn what's
there. The only thing I do with my Xbox is I play fucking video games on it. I don't know how to do anything on it at all.
Timber, you know all about Xbox. What game should we be looking at this holiday season?
Oh, boy.
How's that for a topic?
Ka-ching!
Yeah, what the butts? I feel like I gave all my Halloween, and I'm still on Halloween mode. But actually, there are a bunch of really cool indie shows today. Like, there's like three different indie shows, which gave me some excitement. Speaking of horror, Work Is Not Done Yet from Raw Fury was announced on Mix today. And
yeah, Raw Fury was one of the groups that did the showcase.
Yeah, well, they were in Mix, the Media Indie Exchange show that happened today. And that, I was like working while it was on, and the trailer played, and it like grabbed me by the face and made me watch it. And I was like, oh, what is this? It looks bizarre. It's again simple. There's something about those like simple horror games that I just am super drawn to. I love the simplicity of it all. One Lonely Outpost looks really good for the other side of my gaming heart, which is Farming Sims. Yeah, there's some trailers. There was a trailer for, I think, for that today as well. In any case, Steam reminded me, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm super excited for that. But
if yeah, I wanted to go and read about all the stuff that was announced today, where would I go?
Mix actually has its very own Steam page, which has everything that was announced, whether it's coming soon or out already. But yeah, you could find that right on Steam.
Cool. The Mix Next 2022. We'll post if we could get a link to that chat. Oh.
Okay, yeah, I found how long I played Plague Requiem.
Like 18 20
and a half. 18 and a half hours, yeah. And that was, and I still haven't 100% it either.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is a hard
game. I'm close though.
And now you're gonna dive into Persona.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Take
a deep breath.
Yeah, Tinder, don't forget to hydrate.
Persona yet?
No, I don't have the attention span for those games. I love watching people play. It's definitely one of those ones where I love me a good walkthrough. I'll watch, you know, my partner play because he really loves Persona. Can't do it though myself.
I'm just thrilled it's on Xbox. I don't know who pulled the right strings to get Persona on Xbox, but I'm thrilled. I'm so happy it's finally, and it's on Game Pass. That's again, Game Pass is just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah,
they just announced the Somerville's coming November 15th, and I am so excited. I've been waiting for that one for years.
Yes,
that's it's kind of my most anticipated for a very long time, and it's I love these. Yeah, I love these like stealth announcement date drops. Like Need for Speed just did it, and then Somerville now. So
yeah. I'm pumped. I like it when they're close to each other too. They're like, next week, see you there. You know,
yeah, I know. Like
the sooner that release date, the more exciting that it is.
Also,
the
15th for Somerville.
Yeah,
and that's on Game Pass. Close.
Ooh, a game that I did music for is featured on this Mix Next page.
Ooh, what game?
One? Super Cat Boy.
Super Cat Boy.
Yep, me and this guy Anton Carraza. Did split the soundtrack. We did songs, and then I played on his stuff. He played on my stuff. It's fun.
That is awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, there's some fun music for that. So that's cool. That's nice to see that in here. McPixel 3, what?
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. I was excited about Bramble, the Mountain King. It gave me Little Nightmares vibes, and was a huge plus in my book.
Okay, well, you just won me over with that.
Yeah, it kind of had, I don't know how to explain it. It's like another dark kind of folklore thing. Like, I don't know, there's a lot of things happening in the background, and it seems kind of linear. I don't know, the trailer, that's just the vibes I got. So you all said you really like Little Nightmares, and I immediately had to backtrack in case I was wrong.
I just looked this up, and I am looking forward to this game.
Yeah, it looks good.
That was called what?
Bramble, the Mountain King.
And there's just so many games coming. Like, what happened to the days when, like, you would get 4 games in a month? And now it's, like, 4 games in an afternoon.
Indies, man. Everything's accessible now. People can just fulfill their dream of making games. It's great.
Yeah. And people like Grant get jobs.
Yeah.
That's true.
Grant, what other games are you working on? Anything else you're able to talk about? Or anything recent that came out?
Did anything recent get? No, there's stuff. Can't say anything. Some stuff, couple games, and then some games I'm just playing on. Like playing guitar on. So, but nothing.
Can't talk about it. Therefore, Half-Life 3 has been confirmed.
I mean, Half-Life 4, bro. I'm getting way ahead. Is what I'm
even better.
And there's guitar on it now.
nice.
But yeah. Other than Super Cat Boy, I don't think there's anything pending in like this year. But there's some stuff. I don't know. I'm working. It's nice.
What's keeping you busy?
Well, I mentioned this last time too, but because it is Halloween weekend, I did release a Halloween album a few weeks ago called Spookage Volume 1, and it is on everywhere. You can go to search Spookage on any of your music platforms except for Bandcamp, and you will find an album of cover songs I've did with a variety of people, everything from Oingo Boingo to Evil Dead the Musical to Twin Peaks to some Goblin Dawn of the Dead stuff. So if you want to hear add some songs to your Halloween lists for the weekend, feel free to check that out. I don't know. I'm mixing a lot of music. I'm doing some work for some engineering work, and then I'm working on a new game project. So that's it. Been kind of hopping around. It was a lighter summer for me work-wise, but it was good because I got to do a bunch of shows and do a bunch of traveling. And it didn't cause it too many problems. I took 6 plane trips this summer.
Wow.
Several of those were shows. Some were not, but I went to Philly and shot a music video with the band Super Strikers, which is a brave wave band with me and a few other guys for some upcoming tunes. That's cool. I'm just rambling because I'm trying to think of what I did recently.
I know you keep putting us on the spot. It's a lot of pressure.
But there you go. And I'm going to see Dawn of the Dead in 3D this weekend. I'm so freaking excited. I can't.
Are you?
Hold myself together. They're taking a bunch of old movies and making them 3D, which I'm kind of a 3D junkie, so that's cool. They did Jaws recently, and apparently it was quite good. And so, yeah, my favorite horror movie is Dawn of the Dead, and it's playing one night only, well, one weekend only this weekend, about an hour away. So we're going to see that on Saturday, and I'm super hyped. I made a whole album devoted to Dawn of the Dead. So I'm like, I'm like the big Dawn junkie. So I'm cloud 9 right now.
I'll say I am sad that 3D never took off. I loved my 3D TV when
it was fun.
When it worked,
it just wasn't gonna last. You know, I mean,
it's fun though. Like
the problem is that 3D like
was cool.
Yeah, but the problem is that for every like great experience that you had in 3D, like, you know, seeing Avatar or what was that Warner Herzog Cave of Forgotten Dreams? It was a documentary that was shot in 3D. Like for every single one of those that are like were an actual experience, you had things that looked like absolute fucking ass, like Clash of the Titans or Green Lantern, Green Hornet. Like that did not need to be in 3D. Like I enjoyed it too, but I was my ex-girlfriend and I saw it on in 3D.
Huh.
It literally did not need to be.
No.
At all.
No, not at all.
It still happens. I mean, we saw Multiverse of Madness in 3D. That was only like, what, 4 months ago? So they're still putting them in the theaters. I went to go see it because I was like, well, I may not like the movie, but at least there's like particle porn in those movies. You know, it'll look really cool in 3D. So I see the comment, Jaws 3D was already a thing. That is true. But this is actually the original movie. This is like Spielberg. This isn't actually Jaws 3D. You should have clarified. This is a remaster of the classic, not the turd pile.
This is Jaws in 3D, not Jaws 3D. 3D
so bad. Yeah. Jaws 3D is so terrible.
Significant
anyway.
Difference.
I do love watching movies that were made for 3D in 2D because it's like, oh, well, I can see what you were clearly going for there. Like, the beginning of Friday the 13th Part 3 was 3D. And at the beginning, like, they're like, the guy's just playing with a yo-yo towards the camera, which is on the floor. And it's like, why would you do that ever? Because it was in 3D. The guy, like, you know, guy gets his head crushed and his eyeball pops out towards the camera. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. I love it. Anyway.
Carnage is also pretty dumb by saying that version jumped the shark.
Boo this.
Timber, how do you put up with his puns?
You know.
I mean, you put up with him on a lot of streams. He's there all the time. Like, have you ever wanted to throw something at your screen when he makes a pun?
I'm trying to think if there's been like one really egregious one. There's always like one egregious one a week.
If you don't constantly want to do that, you're a fucking saint.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Puns don't bother. Like, I kind of have like a dad sense of humor, so like puns will really like genuinely make me giggle. And my favorite is when the puns get started in chat. So like the one pun is always, you know, can go one way or another, but it's when like everyone can get a pun in. I don't know. Thrills me.
We were so talking silly. About Brewmaster in a little text chat, and Carnage said that they are brewing up a storm lately. And then I said I would quit the channel. And then he said that I think Joe wants to punch us in our mugs if he sees us. So I said I can barely stand the puns. And that was my retort.
You know, I really can't stand these puns any longer.
See, this is great.
My soul hurts. Why?
I can never come up with puns fast enough, so I think I really just have pun envy. So,
yeah. Oh, man. I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else either of you wanted to chat about before we move on to news?
I guess not.
Yeah. No,
Timber, with any fun work stuff that you want to talk about before...
Oh, I was going to give a salmon fact. You guys want to know a salmon fact? So something I've been doing is I volunteer. I'm a volunteer naturalist, and I hang out at the river and talk to people about salmon all day. And that's what I do on my weekends when I'm not working.
Do you live in a van down by the river?
Yeah, I wish. My dream. It's called the Cedar Salmon Run. It's a big deal up in Seattle and Washington. So salmon fact, did you guys know that salmon fact have a little bone in their ear called an otolith? And the otolith is a basically a record of each year. And depending on how close or how far the rings are, they're like, it literally looks like when you cut a tree in half and you have like the tree rings that kind of serve that same purpose. Wow. Fish have that otolith. In salmon, it's about the size of a grain of rice. And in fisheries, they can give basically bio tags on the otolith by changing the temperature and solidity of the water that they're in as fry, and it'll tag the salmon on their otolith. They have other ways of tagging, but I always just thought that was a cool fact. And there you go. That's your salmon fact. Thanks for subscribing.
All right. So hold on. When they tag them, do they toss them back in, or is this like for like when they've caught and like, you know, they're going to be eaten?
So this specifically, in Seattle, it's called the Landsberg Hatchery. And what they do is they take sockeye salmon out of the Cedar River, because they are not indigenous species, and they take them out of the river and basically spawn them. So they do the mixing of all the parts, and they have the fry. And so it's a whole thing. So the whole hatchery thing, to answer the short of your thing, it's a whole hatchery thing. So they do it when they're little, and then they do release the fry back into the river to continue the next cycle. And that's just one way that they can tag. Okay. Yeah. So when they like when they spawn them, when they, you know, they have to kill them to spawn them, they can basically check the otolith and see how many hatchery salmon come back versus how many wild salmon come back. So it's like a way of tracking that. Yeah.
Okay, oh, but they so still have to kill it to look at it.
Yeah, because it's a bone. Okay, yeah. Which right, they do that, anyway, because that's how you continue the life cycle of a salmon.
Yeah. No, I was. Because on TikTok, I've started randomly following this one fishing boat that catches lobster. I forget where on the East Coast they're out of. But one day they were explaining like why they'll clip the tails of some lobsters, like specifically female lobsters. You know, and that way it's just other boats know like this is one that's like giving birth to eggs and stuff like you know, has eggs on its tail and stuff like that. You know, don't touch it, you need to toss this one back so we keep having more and more you know, lobster to catch in the future. So I didn't know if it was like that.
Yeah, it's pretty similar, because we also clip certain fins of the salmon, and like you can only take one. I can't remember if you can take the ones with the clipped fins or you can't, but it's one way or the other. But yeah, we do that too. Yeah.
And now I just want to learn something.
I just need to add, like, is your love of salmon, is that what got you into streaming?
Oh my god.
So good. I love it. See, that was good. Nobody sigh at that. No. That was good.
I hate my life so much.
You know, I think you're really just fishing for puns right now.
I am finished with this conversation.
Oh my god. I saw the
You saw my reaction.
Joe leaning all the way back that's a still right there.
You're just being a big pain in the bass.
Beard sticking up in the air.
Ooh. Oh, I hate you.
Thank you.
I hate you
so. No, that was great.
I love it. So yeah, should we get into news? Timber, did you want to stick around for some news?
Unfortunately, I don't think that I can. I think I'm going to leave it at the salmon facts and fade away like a phantom.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. We didn't even get to talk about the fact that Age of Empires is coming to Xbox. That was some of the news, I thought.
One of my favorite games. Super excited about that. There's my input.
There we go. Yay! But thank you so much for joining us. We will let you get going. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Thanks. Thank you for having me. I love coming on. It's always a treat to come on. Thanks for all the puns. Love that. Love the puns. Keep it up. Keep those puns up. And yeah, super, super exciting games coming out. The news is great. And enjoy, like I said before, there's 1,000 indie shows, and I just love it. I love seeing the indies thrive. So thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me chat. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, y'all ready for news?
Bam.
Sure.
PlayStation Plus lineup for November was announced.
Ooh.
All right. Yeah. So how good is it?
It's pretty good. They're getting, I guess the small one is Heavenly Bodies. It's like a physics puzzler in space. So that's nifty. They're also getting the Lego Harry Potter collection.
Cool.
Which I think that's a win. I love Lego games. So that's, and then they're getting Neo 2 and Neo 2 Remastered for PS4 and PS5.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, so that's their month. Not sure what Xbox is going to fire back with. I was hoping that they would announce it tonight. I've been refreshing all night to see if they would post the games with gold for November, but not up yet. So we will talk about that next week. But good month for PlayStation.
Yeah, they got some decent games in there.
Grant, do you have a PS5?
I do not.
No? Do you still use a PS4? Do you have one?
I just recently unplugged the HDMI cable from the receiver to plug in a PlayStation Classic that I modded. Yeah.
What kind of fun stuff did you throw on there?
Well, we're digressing from news, but I can tell you this.
We are, but I don't give a shit.
The quickie. So the I was at Mega Beardo's recently out in Pittsburgh to play a show, and then he had a Simpsons arcade one-up cabinet he had gotten for very cheap from someone locally. And he modded it with a Pi and everything. And I got to play some fun arcade games. And I realized I've just been missing arcade stuff, like old Nintendo stuff, old Genesis stuff. That's kind of the default for emulation. But all the MAME stuff is what I want to play. I can't get those games at home, right? Yeah. That's, you know, so I did some research and found out that the PlayStation Classic has been properly hacked. You can flash a totally different kernel on there, and it will support Wi-Fi and Bluetooth dongles and Bluetooth controllers. And really? I flashed an image of, and it plays PlayStation games, Dreamcast games, and N64 stuff just fine. It's powerful enough. So I flashed an image of a bunch of arcade stuff on there, and I've been jamming on some Smash TV and some Splatterhouse and stuff like that. So it's been fun go back, and it took a little bit to get running. And, you know, every time if you ever play with RetroArch and stuff and work with cores and emulation, it can be a little confusing at first, but I've worked my way through it. And so yeah, I got my little PS Classic modded with a bunch of stuff next to my TV, and I was out of HDMI ports, and I was like, what's to go? And it was between the Chromecast, which I rarely use, but I do cast stuff to on occasion, or the PS4, and I'm just game passing so much.
Yeah.
I was like, in the foreseeable future, I probably will not be playing the PlayStation 4. So I did unplug it, but don't tell it.
I would never tell.
The irony of unplugging a PS4 to plug in a PlayStation Classic is kind of funny.
One of them actually plays more PS1 games than the other.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's weird. That shouldn't be the case, but it is 100% the case.
It's sad. It is really
good
sad.
Good point, man. Good point. Yeah. Gosh, Sony.
I'm waiting to find out what they do with their classics lineup for November. We'll find out later on in the month. I hope to God it's better than last month, because I'm getting so fed up with the classics lineup.
I kind of stopped paying attention because I wasn't using it. Like, I let Plus lapse finally. I had it for, you know, 5 years, 6 years. And I haven't been keeping up. So how many games are they adding per month at this point?
For PS1, PS2, and PSP, last month they added zero.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the mid-tier, they got a shitload of games in the mid-tier. They're doing interesting. Good. Mid-tier's doing awesome. Like, they got shitload of Assassin's Creed.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Thank you, Dopey, for the raid. I will never get over just randomly sitting here and hearing "fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole." Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for the raid, Dopey. Thank you, everyone, for coming by and hanging out. We are right now talking with Stemage and discussing the news. If you don't know Stemage, why don't you tell us, who are you for all the new people who just came in?
Hey, new people. My name's Stemage. I cover video game music.
Awesome.
I also make music for games. And check out my tunes. Search my name. You'll find me, because it's a pretty decently SEO'd name, apparently. Not a whole lot. The only Stemage out there is some guy who keeps getting arrested. I keep getting Twitter notifications for this Deontay Stemage. Keeps getting arrested. Not me. I'm the other one. Check me out.
You're the clean cut Stemage.
I get, sure. I'm the clean cut Stemage. That's what they call me. Clean cut's my middle name. And yeah, there you go. That could be the best intro I've ever given myself. Thank you, Joe.
It is. I'm gonna call this episode "Clean Cut Stemage."
Oh Lord! I gotta go shave.
You're regretting choices yet, anybody?
Oh, jeez.
Let's get back to news. We said Neo 2 is going to be hitting PlayStation Plus lineup in November. In related news, the Neo franchise has now shipped 7 million units worldwide. So pretty good for a PlayStation-only franchise.
Not bad.
Yeah, hopefully it hits Switch and Xbox in the future. I don't know how deep Sony's claws are in that franchise, but who knows? We'll see. We mentioned this briefly with Timber, but Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition was announced for Xbox One and Series X and S with a January 31st release date.
Hmm. What game did you say?
Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
Well, that'll be great for everyone who likes those kinds of games.
Yeah, and then Age of Empires 4 will follow later in the year.
Nifty.
Sweet.
Yeah, buddy. They will be redesigned to support controller, but they will still also support mouse and keyboard, and it'll feature optional crossplay. I see in chat, Sperry Berry Boy is mentioning Wolong Dynasty. They confirm that is going to be launching worldwide on March 3rd, Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC, and it'll be day one on Game Pass.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking forward to that, kind of not. I really just haven't decided yet. That looks like, it looks so cool, and it has the mythology that I love and stuff, but then it looks like it's also going to be really, really hard, and I'm a kind of a little aww bitch. Yeah, basically.
Something I'm unsure about still is Sonic Frontiers, which just went gold as well.
I'm really excited for that one. That's the only time I've been excited for one since, like, the Sega.
I'm, like, cautiously optimistic about this one. I've been hurt so many times.
You know, I feel the same about this as I do other Sonic games, where when I see Sonic in motion, and he's in motion, moving, it's awesome. And then as soon as I see him hit a wall, and then start to have to run again, and see that slow acceleration, I'm like, oh boy, it is a Sonic game, isn't it? But I don't know. Frontiers, like seeing him whip around those towers and grind rails and everything, actually looks pretty intriguing. I'm just, other than those little moments, it looks a little empty, you know. So I'm curious. I want to give it a shot. It looks like something different. I applaud them for trying something new. So
now they're saying it's closer to like Breath of the Wild, aren't they?
That's what I've heard, but I don't know.
This is like Sonic's Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I've heard people saying that, but I don't know if, you know, the company has actually said that or not.
I don't know. We'll find out, because it's gone gold, and it's coming out on, I think, what, the 8th?
It's
right around the corner.
November's crazy.
It is. Good Lord, is it crazy. Oh, God, so many games.
So many games.
CD Projekt Red has announced that one of their projects is a full ground-up remake of the original Witcher game.
That's kind of cool. They're going to add a lot more ass and titties. I appreciate it.
Ass, titties, ass and titties. Grant, do you remember Ass and Tetris?
No.
You never heard Ass and Tetris?
No.
Oh my God, I got to find you that song.
Please do.
I don't know if I could play it on this show or not.
Why not? I'll just bring up like a bunch of other stuff, and then the episode will just get demonetized, and then you can blame me.
Now, because like copyright, I don't know if it would.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad.
I'm going to find that, though, so I will find that. Ass and Tetris. Google it, kids. Ass and Tetris.
I believe I have found it. I have found it.
Play it over your speakers so we could hear a little.
I can't.
There's no way to do it.
The link was from 2004, and it's from a forum, and it doesn't go anywhere. So there must be something. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I found it. Here it is. It's on YouTube.
Yay.
I'll post it in the chat here.
Yeah, post it.
Discord will just simply think it's noise and cut it out. I can't play it over my microphone. So,
oh, I'll play a couple seconds of it.
Ass, titties, ass and titties. Ass, titties, ass, and titties. Big booty bitches, that's where it gets. Come on, ho, let's go to the easy rest. When I see ass, titties, ass, and titties.
Okay, I can't. That's such a good fucking song, though. Oh my God. What other news? Since we're talking about ass and Tetris, here's a, we'll keep it kid friendly, KO the Kangaroo. Oh my God. KO the Kangaroo is teaming up with Yooka-Laylee in brand new free DLC that allows you to play the whole game as Yooka.
Weird.
Yeah.
Cool, I guess. I don't know who the fuck this kangaroo thing is.
KO the Kangaroo.
I don't know that one.
We covered
it. I know, well, we may have covered it, but I didn't, so.
It's a cute platformer. 3D platformer collectathon.
And Yooka-Laylee is the one with the lizard and the bat, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I do know that one. All right. I thought I did, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Bethesda announced that Fallout 4 is going to be getting a next-gen release, shocking the world that Bethesda is re-releasing a game on a new platform. It will be a free update, which is the surprising part. It will be a free update for Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC, and will include performance mode for higher frame rates, quality features for 4K resolution, and bonus Creation Club content.
Cool. I mean, it was a...
I mean, I'm never going to get around to playing the game, so...
It was okay.
I like Fallout 4. I know it got a lot of shit for all the random, oh, the settlement's in trouble, but just fucking ignore the settlement. I don't give a shit that they're getting raided.
See, 3 was always my favorite one. Lots of people like New Vegas all the way, but I'm like, no, I liked 3. 3 was the best.
Now, last bit of news that I have is that Discord on Xbox will no longer require a phone app to be used, which is good because I can't get my app set up for the life of me. Or like remote downloads and streaming, like it just won't work. I don't know why. Sucks. I can't.
That is strange.
Like when I redeem codes and it's like hit to install to your system, it never installs. Like, my home console doesn't download games. I don't know what's wrong with it.
I've had mine disconnect multiple times and had to restart over since I got it. It's a little flaky, but yeah, it's weird. It's
bananas. Yeah, Discord on Xbox. That'll be cool to not need the app to just work natively. We're one step closer to having a universal chat system for gaming.
Yep.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's in the works for PlayStation as well. And once that happens, like, sky's the limit.
Yeah, that's more than one more step. That's a huge step. That's them putting their, you know, they're saying this is what we're going to do. Which, you know, when it comes to crossplay, that's just so huge. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, awesome. Yeah, that's news I have. Aki, any news on your end?
If I had any, I've long since lost it.
Cool. Grant, any news on your end?
Have you talked about this? I don't know. I'm closer to it because I think I've been following the Twitter. But this game Aero GPX, this like F-Zero kind of cell shaded F-Zero clone on Kickstarter.
No, I haven't heard about it.
I don't know if you guys ever talk about Kickstarters. It's already funded, so it's not even like a thing. You need to support it to be able to get it. But it's this game called Aero GPX. Cool dude is working on it.
I did solo. See that. Yeah, dude, that thing looks dope as shit.
Yeah, and he just announced he's doing the soundtrack. It's Myrone, who's a kind of a killer 80s style guitar player dude. And the Kickstarter is up, and it's worth just, you know, it's backed already. I'm sure there are stretch goals, but it's worth it.
You just post.
Just beat you.
Son of a bitch beating me in chat.
He's been posting GIFs and videos for months, and it just looks solid. Like, there's clarity in this game. It's a lot of these futuristic racers are so fast. Amidst the detail in the environment, you just can't make out what the hell is happening. I try a lot of them because there's a lot of them they'll come up every once in a while, and they haven't stuck. But there's a demo out for this, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm looking at some of the video clips on the Kickstarter page, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, and the music's real good. Like, it's Myron's doing the theme, and I think he's got that on there. And so worth taking a look at.
Damn, I might have to throw a few bucks at this one.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Trying to see what platforms it's coming to.
I'm guessing it's probably just PC, and then like he'll figure the rest out later. Part of it, I think, was can he get this? Will this be successful? I'm sure it's probably part of the stretch goal shit, but he's been doing... That's where the demo is Steam at the moment. So you'll have to see what he has to say about that.
Nice. Well, Jacob, any news on your end?
The only thing I could think of is that Amazon released the first first photo from the Fallout TV show.
Oh yeah,
which I mean, it's just, you know, a vault opening. So,
how the fuck do they make a TV show about that? Like, that I can't imagine that's going to go well at all.
I mean, everyone seems pretty stoked about it. So,
I like the Like I'm never big on screenshots really, but I do like the look of their outfits. Like they look kind of they're kind of brightly colored. Like they look kind of that retro, kind of that 70s retro future aesthetic, you know, and I hope it's like that. You know, it's not, I hope it's colorful and cool and not just overly serious and brown and like everything else. So I don't know. It could be cool. I just figured that, you know, they'll come up with five characters and focus on them for the you know, however long they decide to hang out on the Fallout. I don't know. Writes itself. Hire me. I'll take
more
care of it.
People should hire you.
Sure.
I want to hear more Stemmage music everywhere.
Oh my gosh, me too.
I mean, you seem a little biased about that.
I am biased. I still
No, think, not you, him.
Oh. Well, I'm biased too. I think Narrowband is still like one of the greatest albums out there. Oh man, I love Narrowband so much.
Thanks, man.
When are you doing a sequel? Narrowband 2.
I have the Riff Vault is full. I just got to make some time for it. I have ideas and stuff for what's coming for just original stuff, but I've been caught up in work music for the last forever. So I'm hoping to make some time for it. So I appreciate your support. Joe, you the man.
I try. We got to get you to do more weird shit for this show.
Yeah, let's see. Well, we missed Halloween. That's going away.
Christmas is coming back up. We could do another.
Christmas is coming back up. We'll figure something. I'll figure something out.
Something holiday friendly.
We need to have a theme song for Timber's salmon facts.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Oh my gosh, like a big stinger for salmon facts. Hey, that's easy, man. That's an hour. Joe, do you rap?
For you, yes, I will.
I heard you thinking about it. I heard you thinking about it. All right.
I will take off the retirement boots and I will put my crackish shoes on one more time.
Well, this is the news section, so you've heard it here first, guys.
Oh my God!
Now
facts.
I mean, now Timber has to be back on like monthly now, pretty much,
just to use that. Well, I mean, we're going to use a sound clip for Grant's review when we get to it.
Are we?
Yeah, this one. Sucks that you guys can't hear it, but I could hear it, and it was funny.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, that one. I just unmuted the stream.
Should we get to reviews?
Do it. There are games.
No.
Sure, let's do this.
Okay, because Aki's first game to talk about tonight is A Plague Tale Requiem, developed by Asobo Studio, published by Focus Entertainment, released October 17th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and Switch via cloud for $59.99, PC for $49.99. Embark on a heart-rending journey into a brutal, breathtaking world, and discover the cost of saving those you love in a desperate struggle for survival. Strike from the shadows or unleash hell with a variety of weapons, tools, and unearthly powers. Aki, what is going on in A Plague Tale Requiem?
Okay.
And Raider Biz says not to spoil anything because they're on chapter 3.
You need to really start playing that. There's 16 chapters in this.
Just tell us about the game and not the story.
Okay, in this you play as Amicia, and she beats the shit out of people or hides from them.
The end.
For the most part, this is a very narrative heavy set of games. It's a very big emotional roller coaster. It focuses on Amicia and her brother Hugo, and her just trying to give him a good life, more or less. As when the characters are happy, it's really, you feel it. It just makes you feel calm and happy. And when things aren't going well, it makes you want to cry. I cried a few times at playing the game, actually.
You have a heart?
Yes, I do. I know. Oh, it's boy, crazy. Yeah. I just don't have a heart for any of you fuckers. That's all.
Fair.
Very fair. In this, there's three different ways of playing, basically. There's the stealthy way. There's the I'm just going to fuck everyone's shit up way. And then there's the opportunistic way where you're like, well, if they're in my way, I guess I'll off them. But mostly I'm going to be trying to avoid that type way. And each one of those gives you levels up one of three pathways for you. And obviously you can level them all at the same time, but it's a lot easier just to go for one. And they give you four different abilities as you level each one of them up. The opportunistic one gives you more stuff for like your alchemy stuff. So, you know, creating fires or stuff that extinguishes fires, things like that. Your assault one upgrades things like it makes your sling more powerful. Stealth one, I don't remember what it does because, as you can tell, which one I didn't go. This game, thankfully, has moved away from just being kind of required to play stealth, which is how the first game was really meant to be played. You had very limited everything in the first game, so it was kind of hard to deal with enemies, so you really had to just sneak around them. You could occasionally kill some of them, but this one is very much, you have an infinite number of rocks that you can use a sling, and if they don't have a helmet on, they're fucked. And it's fantastic.
So you could just pelt motherfuckers with rocks the whole time?
You don't even have to pelt them. You hit them once in the head with a rock, and they'll die.
Wow, you're strong.
Yeah, well, she's using a proper, like, spin and flick sling, not one of those, I just pull it back and poof, let it go.
And flick is my favorite technique.
Oh, God. I should have known that was gonna. Oh no!
It was what, Aki?
No, because I'm just gonna walk into another one if I do that. No,
was it right in your face?
No.
Just dangling there.
Oh, gross. I don't know where I was anymore. That's the gist of the game. You have to deal with various different groups. The first game had the Inquisition, basically, after you. That's not so in this game. In this game, you have a bunch of other people, just different groups, that are trying to deal with you for this reason and that reason. Escape them, kill them, a little bit of both, whatever. Fun with it. You get to meet some interesting characters in it, and sometimes they have interesting abilities, just like some of the characters did in the first game.
Is this like a linear narrative experience, or is this like an open world adventure?
This is definitely linear. This is very much linear, yeah.
Are there like upgrades and stuff to
skill yes.
trees and...
Well, there's the three that I mentioned prior, which is just based on how you personally play. And there's also, you can find crafting parts and crafting tools throughout the different levels, and you can use those to upgrade different parts of your gear, either be it your upgrade tool, which, you know, allows you to break down items that you already are carrying the max of, so into more parts, so you can hopefully upgrade things later. I don't know what the other upgrade is, and then the last one is the tool doesn't break anymore, so you don't have to keep finding a whole bunch of fucking tools in order to upgrade stuff. You instead turn them into parts to help you upgrade, because that one never breaks. Bad news.
You already found a whole bunch of tools.
Yeah, all you fuckers. and then you know, there's upgrades for a sling, for your sling. One of them's like, now I can hold two rocks in it, so I can hit two assholes in the head before I have to reload it, instead of just doing it every time I fling a rock. And some other upgrades for it, I don't remember or care what they were, because that was the most important one. Then you get one for your different alchemy, how much of the different pre-processed items you can get, And then also ones for like, oh, how many items can I carry? And there's another one that I'm not going to mention because you don't get it until later in the game. So, yeah. Yeah, and all three of these different, or all of these groups has three different things you upgrade, but they are in an order. So, yeah, you get all those different types of upgrades. And by the end of the game, you should, hopefully, providing you've been playing it on easy anyways, be able to get all the upgrades. And the reason for that is there's more ammunition and stuff in the levels if you're playing on easy, including knives, which are necessary to open a specific type of chest called secret chests. And they hold a bunch of upgrade parts. And I think you probably need a good chunk of those in order to actually buy all the upgrades in your first playthrough. However, they did add new
Easy
game.
Easy mode plus. Is for people reviewing games.
I mean, the game. The game's that. Easy no matter what. But
it's also beautiful. Like I.
Oh yeah, it's gorgeous.
Like this. This is current gen only, so it's only available on PS5, Series X, and S. And it looks astounding.
And it's just as beautiful as it looks. It really is. It is gorgeous from beginning to end.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like there's much you didn't like about this.
Oh no, I loved it. It even has New Game Plus. So if you don't get all your upgrades, which like for your different playstyles, you're definitely not going to in one playthrough. So you can play through the game a second time. Sadly, and this is the one thing that does bother me, you can't just keep clicking New Game Plus after you beat the game to keep just playing indefinitely. It doesn't do that. It only lets you play it one more time. So if you don't have all the achievements by that point, you can go back through chapter select, but that's where you have to, you can't go like to a later chapter in the game at that point. So wherever you went to, that's where you are. And it undoes all the progress that you had made up to that point, which kind of sucks. But, you know, otherwise, yeah, I really, really, really like the game.
I have a question.
Sure. Go for it.
How would you rate it on a bummer scale? Like, let's just say, you know, we know kind of like a bummer, like a downer, like, and just in general, like,
make your soul hurt.
Yeah. I kind of like if it's sort of like, how much does it want you to?
It's very bittersweet.
Okay, that's the thing. That's bittersweet was the word I was going to use. Is it more like that, or is it really just like a Children of Men situation? Like, how dark does it go? It sounds like they're pushing for a mainstream kind of vibe. So I'm just, but I, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of pick and choose the downer
Very, this one gets very painful in some sections. It gets very dark, very very dark.
Yeah,
this game is not against watching a bunch of people just getting eaten by rats, and you see the rats swarm and you hear them screaming and crying out in pain as they die. And then, you know, get the rats away from them and see their bodies, not just bones left over or nothing left over, but you see like chunks of flesh and stuff all over the place. Like their skin might be mostly chewed off. Or completely chewed off, leaving all the muscle and stuff under it if you got to remove the rats fast enough. Otherwise, you see bits of flesh and stuff on them instead, and that's just it. And yeah.
Rated M for mature.
So yeah, it gets pretty dark, and it is very bittersweet.
Cool.
Well, the game is $60. What do you think?
Yes. Go buy it. Yeah. The only one I'm iffy on is the Switch one, but that's because I'm always iffy on the streaming from the cloud or whatever the hell it was. I'm never quite sure how well that's going to work for games, because sometimes it apparently works great and other times it works like shit. But every other system, yes, go get this. It is fucking amazing.
Sweet. All right, next up, we'll keep the spooky spirit going with Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. Developed and published by Illphonic, released October 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Ghostbusters, let me try that again. Ghostbusters Spirits Within is a fun multiplayer game, perfect for all skill levels. Four proton pack wielding Ghostbusters attempt to catch a ghost haunting unique locations in asymmetrical multiplayer battles, online or offline. The look and feel will deliver to fans an immersive experience in the universe, allowing them to play out their ghostbusting fantasies. Jacob, I know you have a lot of fantasies about Slimer, so what's going on in this one?
I'm assuming that this takes place after the events of Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I still have yet to see. But you walk into the Ghostbusters HQ, and you're like a new recruit, and they walk you through all the usual stuff, like, here's how you use your proton pack, you know, this is how you trap the ghosts, this is what you do with all that kind of stuff later, and then you walk around the HQ and meet everyone. And that's where you find out, like, you know, oh, you go here to customize your character. And so, like, you're given a bunch of stuff initially that you could do. But as you progress through the game, you'll unlock more stuff, both here, like, with customization of how you look, but also your loadout, which I thought was pretty nice. Because, like, honestly, I was a little afraid that this was going to end up having some microtransactions with it or something, but everything seems to be pretty contained in the game. Although I'm not going to lie, like, for as much as I loathe microtransactions, part of me was just like, yeah, I'd pay like $10 to, like, you know, like fast forward through all this stuff so I could start killing shit quicker. But yeah. So then you go out on your first mission, and that's where you learn even more stuff. And so what it is that it's an asymmetrical multiplayer game. You have four people as the Ghostbusters, and you have one person operating as the ghost. If you're one of the members of the Ghostbusters, you have to run around the building, and you have to destroy all the rifts, which prevent the ghosts from reappearing after they've been killed. You have to calm down the people that are in the building, which, honestly, this part was the most, I had the most difficulty with this part, because you just have to talk to them, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, because for whatever reason, I gave my guy, like, a Canadian, you know, Minnesotan accent, but it's like, oh, yeah, all these ghosts, you know, they, like, you know, all you have to do is just trap them, and then, you know, it's okay, like, oh, yeah, don't you know, but the thing is that if you do it wrong, they, like, get scared. They get even more scared, and they run off.
And run around.
Right. And then if they get too freaked out.
Button press. It's just like a quick time event button press. And if you fuck it up, they just run away screaming. Like, I didn't hit the green sliver.
Yeah. I was not really a fan of this because, like, even if they get too freaked out, then they actually run out of the building and, like, they can run right into you and knock you over. And if everyone leaves the building, then the ghosts have won and you just, like, that's it, game over. But yeah, otherwise you just have to, like, run around. You collect mushrooms to upgrade stuff, or, like, fungus, because it's, like, mushrooms, fungus, and there's, like, one other thing that it's, like, classified as. You pick that stuff up to boost your score and, you know, the experience that you get with it. And then you just try to take down the ghost before time runs out. Honestly, I was having a pretty fun time. I don't know if I was actually playing with other people or if the game just fills it with bots if no one else is around. Because nobody ever talked when I was talking. Mm. But yeah, I was having fun with it. I have yet to win a match because the game is just hard as hell, which, I mean, Evil Dead was the same way on this. Like, it's just, you know, it's a long slog to get to the end. But we actually won at Evil Dead. This game, I still have yet to win any of them. But at the same time, I'm still having a ton of fun with it. Like, as I said, like, there is a progression, experience progression with this. Like, as you get farther along, you update stuff for your loadout. And so it's like, you know, you have an extra energy blast or, you know, it cools down quicker, stuff like that. And you can upgrade your proton pack and your zapper and like you can't even make it. So you actually have the PKE meter. You can actually make it so you can have like a little tiny one on your zapper, so then you don't even have to like swap between the two, which I thought was really cool, and I'm looking forward to that upgrade. But yeah, like honestly, it's pretty fun, as difficult as it can be. I'm looking forward to being able to play as a ghost. I don't remember if it's level 5 or 10 that you have to be able to play as a ghost, but I haven't reached it yet because we haven't won anything. Yeah. And so it's just like, ugh. But I'm looking forward to when I'll finally get there.
Nice. I kind of wish Timber was still around to talk about this one, because we actually played this one on stream, I think last week or the week before. And it's fun. It's just hard to get into. I couldn't figure out like what I was doing at first. I didn't think the tutorial was like in depth enough. I don't know. I struggled with how complex the controls could be, and like what buttons do what, figuring everything out. But the actual gameplay itself, as long as you have a good team working together, you too can take down a ghost with under 30 seconds left and get an achievement thanks to Carnage.
Yeah, apparently I need Carnage or start playing with Carnage on this one then. But yeah.
Well, the game's $40. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's worth $40. Like, I was having a lot of fun with it. I don't know if they've announced any DLC or anything like that for it. The team has a Discord, and they do seem to be responsive to bugs and stuff like that. So if anything, they're probably just nailing all those down right now. But yeah, I was having a lot of fun with it. So for $40, if you're like looking to get your toes into like an asymmetrical multiplayer game like this, you know, Ghostbusters is a good place to start, in my opinion.
Cool. Grant, any questions?
I don't think so. I'm just interested and I want to try it out. And who you've been playing? How many people have you been playing with?
Me? I just hop into lobbies, and so
yeah. So you're doing public games, basically, just like,
yeah, I'm doing public games. But the thing is that nobody ever talks, so I don't know if I'm actually playing with people or bots.
Yeah, right on. I'm kind of like I kind of proceed with caution when it comes to actual chatter with strangers, and I kind of wondered how this game is. It intuitive enough that people can kind of do what they're supposed to, or does it require, you know, strategizing or what? I mean, you know, it's always more fun, I guess, with buddies if you got enough people that have it, but.
Like with no communication, it's been pretty, as I said, I've yet to win a game.
Right. So yeah, that makes sense.
I found it was easier to play while communicating with the other people. Obviously, if you're working as a squad, you gotta get all four people on the same page and
got a squad, man.
Yeah. Squad up and take out ghosts. All right, next game is Scorn, developed by Ebb Software, published by Kepler Interactive, released October 14th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $39.99. Scorn is set in a nightmarish universe of odd forms and somber tapestry. It is designed around the idea of being thrown into the world, isolated and lost inside this dreamlike world. You will explore different interconnected regions in a non-linear fashion. Aki, what is going on in Scorn?
This game, well, a lot of people originally thought this game was going to be a first-person shooter, and it's not very much for the shooting. It's mostly a walking sim and puzzle game. There is some combat you can do, but you run out of ammunition very quickly, and the same for life. Beyond that, there is a lot of, in the politest way possible. There's a whole lot of dick in this game. And I don't mean fuck imagery. All type. Yes, there we go. I was about to say, and I don't mean fuck all. I mean like penis. That works. Yes. Phallic imagery. Yes. so much. So much.
I think I expected more dick in this game.
I wasn't like- expecting any dick in this game. I was expecting, you know, like, aliens, but more fleshy and shootable. And then I got mountains of dicks.
Dick mountains? I don't know. I guess, okay, continue.
Yeah, lots of buildings are shaped either like heads or dicks. Yep. There's dicks jutting out of everywhere. It's just, there's a lot of dicks all over the fucking place. And eventually you see your own character's dick. So there's that too. So cool.
I wish we had the shit set up in chat to like add quotes. So we could just add quote that's like, there's dicks everywhere.
Yeah, so many
of these. A lot of dicks.
So many of those would be so terrible, and they'd all be mine, and they'd be just heinous. There's not really anything you're trying to do. You're just moving through the level because there's nothing written or spoken in this game. So you wake up and you're just moving forward. That's it. That's the entirety of what you're doing.
There's no narrative? Like, it doesn't tell you anything?
No, not at all.
The game just starts, and it's like, here you go, fucker, have fun.
Yeah, yeah. That has been one of the largest problems, apparently, from what I understand, with people who are playing it. It literally tells you nothing. That includes how to heal yourself, how your weaponry, everything. It doesn't tell you anything. There are no tutorials for this game at all. You just push buttons until you figure it out. Hmm. I was a good chunk of the way through the game before I realized I could heal myself. Just because I had never pushed that button. I never thought of pushing that button. I was like, damn, this game's really hard, and I'm constantly near death. When the fuck am I going to heal? And I just kept like that, and I was like, man, this game is really hard. I don't know if I like this. And then I figured out you could fucking heal, and I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. So yeah, I think there should be a little bit of tutorial in this, just so you know what the fuck you're doing. Like, not like overarching what you're doing, but literally like how to physically play the game would be cool. But nothing in this world makes a lot of sense. It seems to be a pretty much dead world. You seem to be the only whatever the fuck you are left. Because you are... I don't know if you're even human, to be honest. You seem kind of human, but I don't fucking know. And from all the imagery, it seems like male was all that was left of your species, and female was all robotics. So I guess this is the future of humanity after you all get sex robots, I guess. I don't know.
This is an incel's future.
Yeah.
What do you mean you all get sex robots? Like, as if you're not going to get one, too.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, so there's not a lot for me to say about the story. The game will probably take you 2 to 5 hours to beat. It's not a particularly long game.
No, I think it took one.
Yeah, I think it took me around 4 hours, and I got lost a lot.
A lot of dicks, but they're not long.
Yeah. Well, some of them are huge, but there's no mini map or anything, so you're going to get lost eventually. And some of the puzzles aren't particularly all that intuitive. But generally, it's not too hard. You just have to find where the fuck you're supposed to go constantly and just move forward. It's not going to take you very long. And as long as you don't try to treat it like a fucking first-person shooter, which, I mean, you might start off doing that, but you should learn pretty fucking quickly that that's not going to fucking work and stop it. No. And if you're not smart enough to stop, then, well, this game might take you a very long time. Otherwise, it's you're going to figure out that you need to avoid enemies and how to do so fairly easily. And it's a pretty simple game. It's very creepy, but simple.
Well, Grant, anything you want to add? I know you've been playing this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that, like, I've been really looking forward to this game. I've been big. When I was young, I used to go to Barnes & Noble and head straight to the, you know, the art book section and find the big Giger book, you know, and just, like, stare at crazy pictures of cocks and vajayjays. And I really like Baksinski and Bosch. I love dark art. I've been very excited about this game because it looks absolutely beautiful. And the first third of this game, I was absolutely in love. I love no instruction. I love the fact that you don't even know what the puzzle is. So you have to figure out what the puzzle is before you figure out how to solve the puzzle. It reminded me of Myst. And I feel like it was a really ballsy decision to do that. And then the combat shows up, and it fucking ruined it for me. I would take my time and look at the art, and then the combat, and then you're just running through these incredibly designed set pieces to try and stay alive, and it just totally pissed me off, and I quit, and I just watched a playthrough, and just
see,
decided to experience the art that way instead. So it totally, I feel like other people, it's kind of the other way around, but for me, that's what did it for me, and I was so... It bummed me out. So, but boy, is it pretty.
And that is, if you had continued to do what you were doing, you wouldn't have had to worry about the enemies so much. Because the thing about enemies in this, which is one of the reasons why you don't fucking bother to fight them, is they have shit they're doing. They're not, most of them are not there to fight you. They will if you get too close to them, but otherwise, they'll leave you alone. They will just walk off.
Yeah, they will. They seem to be putting them in strategic places, so you at least have to encounter some. And I guess I found that trying to juke around them didn't work. They could shoot incredibly far.
Yes, they could.
And then once I got to the bigger boys, I was like, you know what? I just gotta check out. I just need to like be able to watch. I just want to watch it. Because I just felt the combat was kind of trashy. So and that's just my reaction to it. I do wish I would have. I liked the idea there was no timer and no combat, and I could just stare at everything. So I was a little bummed, but I think the art is a pretty big triumph in this game, and people are so frustrated with it it hasn't gotten the credit it deserves for that, which is a bit of a bummer. So I didn't finish it. I ended up watching it instead. So cheers to you for making it through. So yeah, that's my take.
I 100% did it. So.
Oh, right on.
Jeez.
Awesome. Let me just say, can I ask you a question? Which, the first puzzle has two solutions. Did you do the,
in order to 100%, you have to do both.
You do, okay. Which one did you do first? Did you do the one that involves a saw blade, or did you do one that is another thing? Do you remember?
I did the other one first.
Okay,
and that's what I didn't did. Like okay. that, so I went with the saw blade.
Yeah, I was just curious. I was just wondering. Okay, I'm curious how people decide to go, so... Anyway, thank you for letting me speak my mind on Scorn. I did play that for Halloween. Kind of forgot.
Nice. So the game's $40. What do you think of it?
It's... Whilst I enjoyed the game, I think that's asking a whole lot for most people. Because this just... I don't think this is going to be most people's cup of tea. Either because of the combat or because of the no instructions. So I think buy it when it's on like a 50% sale. I think I'd be much more comfortable with, but at 40, I would say pass until sale
or Game Pass it.
Game Pass it. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. Plague Tale also on Game Pass. We forgot to mention.
Yeah, but buy a Plague Tale. Yeah. It's fucking amazing. You're gonna want it longer than it's on Game Pass.
Cool. So Scorn is a Game Pass. Plague Tale is a buy it. We can move on. Sound good?
Yep.
Cool. Next game, The Pinball Wizard, developed and wait, we need the audio clip. Grant, take it away. There we go. Next game, The Pinball Wizard, developed and published by Frosty Pop Games, released October 27th on Switch for $7.99. Oh, young apprentice atop the Mountain of Shadow at the foot of the castle tower, the wisdom bestowed upon you shall come to pass. A pinball dungeon crawler awaits to test your skill. Grant, what is going on in The Pinball Wizard?
Well, balls. You pull me in here to talk when it's ball time, and it's ball time. Yes. This is The Pinball Wizard. It is a port from an Apple Arcade game. Came out a couple years ago for Switch. And it is a pinball adventure game. It reminds me a bit of Rollers of the Realm, which came out some years ago. And that game actually has a sequel coming up. Rollers of the Realm 2. Yeah, it's it went. I've heard some people giving it previews, but there's no release date yet. But Rollers of the Realm is on the way. So this is interesting. It's you can tell it's everything on the screen is quite big. It's definitely built for mobile. The wizard is the ball, just to make sure that's clear to everyone. Except you're not a ball. You're a little dude running around. So it's interesting because when you flip the wizard with the flippers, he just takes off running, which is actually kind of funny. It's pretty fun. And then, you know, when the ball, you know, gravity pulls it back down, he turns around and runs back to the flippers. It's pretty funny. It's pretty basic, I will say, in terms of the goals. It's mostly defeating enemies on the map to get a key to proceed to the next map. There are a few dozen levels, and every few levels you get a new abilities. You can hit buttons that freeze time and sort of spin an arrow around you, and you let off the button to fire yourself off in a certain direction, or you can throw projectiles. The items that you interact with are mostly things to bang into. There aren't a lot of ramps or interesting paths like you might expect in a pinball game. It's sort of an arena, and you're just the pinball flippers are the way that you're handling the combat. There, I think it plays really well. It's very charming. It's not very long, and it can get pretty hard. It does this thing where enemies will. There aren't predetermined areas that you take damage. What happens is all the enemies are on timers. So you got to time your shot so you hit them when they're vulnerable. And if you screw up and hit them when they turn red, you're going to take damage. And I feel like this is one, this was a decision. I think it's okay. I feel like there's one thing in pinball that you try not to do, and that is to take points away from a player. Like, you don't ever see that in a pinball machine. And I feel like with this, it's sort of, you get in the situation where you're, the ball is sort of bouncing around the table in a way that you didn't control, just based on chance. And you will just straight up bump into an enemy that is red. And that isn't really your fault. So it can make some rounds and some of the levels a bit frustrating. And it doesn't really have a lot of flow. It's sort of a start and stop kind of game. I think it's really good for short sessions. And again, it is pretty inexpensive. I feel like there are a few missed opportunities here. I think they could have done some cooler stuff with the table design. Could have had a bigger variety of enemies and maybe gone with more like areas of the playfield that might hurt you instead of just the enemies, like spikes or something. A little more variety would have been nice. But it does play really well, and it is not very expensive. It's only $8 currently. I think it's on sale for closer to $7. So it's cute. It's a quick play. I think it's probably best suited on something like mobile. But $8 is not too bad. If you're a fan of pinball, I would say it's worth putting some time in, and it will give you something to jam on until Rollers of the Realm 2, I guess it's called, maybe comes out. So that's my take.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yep.
All right. So your official verdict is.
If you're a pinball kid, check it out. I do think it could be better, but the fact that it's sub $10, I think means it's worth giving it a shot. If you like games like Yoki's Island Express and other games that have kind of taken the pinball controls and put it into a different kind of game, I think it's worth adding to your library. So
beans,
good Switch game. Yep.
All right. Well, Grant, that is it for you. Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us.
That's it for me.
You're going to make a salmon fax stinger to throw in the episode?
I'll just take the pinball, this the same, the ball squad theme, and be like, salmon fax. Yeah, exactly. Actually, there was a game, Space Otter Charlie that came out a couple years ago, and I did like a 80s rock version of their theme song with this like guy singing Space Otter Charlie all 80s. I could probably repurpose that for some. We'll figure something out. Get salmon facts on here. Get that shit on locks.
Make it happen.
You feel me?
I will put it in the show. You make it happen. I will put it in the show.
Locks joke. Sweet. I want to plug one thing real quick. Well, two things before I leave. One is the 1UPs have hit their 20th anniversary as a video game music band. They are selling a vinyl to celebrate the 20th anniversary, and I get the link here. I'm throwing it in Twitch, but check out, it's the first time you're getting 1UPs on vinyl, and it's absolutely worth it. Always
I got my
fun.
Order
in
already. I am beyond excited. I don't have a way to play it, but I'm going to own it.
Yeah, pick it up. I've seen some of the arts, and it's pretty rad. It'll be worth owning. And I agree, Yoku's Island Express absolutely needs a sequel. I really hope they're working on it. I think it was a success, so we'll see.
It was awesome.
Fantastic game.
What else do you want to pimp?
And I want to pit my Halloween record. I mentioned it earlier, but for anyone who's just joining, I released some Halloween cover songs on Spotify under the album title Spookage Volume 1. So search for Spookage in your streaming music app of choice and jam that shit. Anyone like Terrorvision? Never heard of it? Not surprised. Check it out.
Funny thing is, I played that last time you were on the show. And yes. I got a copyright flag.
Did you? What? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense with, I don't have any claiming on.
I guess the original theme, it sounded close enough that it got claimed. What song was it?
And can you, for Terrorvision?
Yeah.
Wow. I need you to like send, that is fascinating. I don't understand how that's, because it doesn't sound much like the original. I don't have claiming on, so I wonder what they're doing there. I mean, I guess if it's a cover, but I'm licensed, my track's licensed. That's really strange. I would love for you to like, if you have the email forwarded to me, I want to check out and see what that's about.
Where's the dashboard content, copyright claim, see details, identified as cover song. Yeah.
Uses, well, yeah, a licensed cover song, you fucking, it's fucking
Terrorvision Twitch. Video uses this song's melody.
Hey,
wow, it's quite the melody.
Yeah,
it's, well, just, they, whatever,
it's just they sharing they, revenue, so I,
yeah, okay, Twitch, I don't is give Twitch a fuck. Twitch muted Metallica on their own stream. They don't know what the fuck's going on. Yeah. So sorry about that, bro.
Copyright,
don't do it again.
Ice CS from the UK.
I don't know.
Fall into the abyss.
I don't know.
Of my gaping,
it was all a practical joke. You fell for it. Way to go, bro.
We just got raided again. Tony, thank you for the raid. Love it. Thank you for the sub as well.
Fucking man, yeah.
This has been a fun show. Grant, thank you so much for coming and hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come you back take again care. Soon when you have news to talk about.
Yeah. Totally. Have a great whatever, Halloween, everybody.
Games you got in the pipeline.
Yeah, do something weird and spookage. Fun. Scary. I don't know.
Spookage.
Spoopy. Exactly. Go for it. Spoopy. All right, y'all. See ya.
Hugs.
See ya.
All right. Next up, we've got Gunfire Reborn, developed by Duoyi Games, maybe. Published by 505 Games, released October 27th, Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $19.99. Gunfire Reborn is a level-based adventure game featuring FPS, roguelite, and RPG elements. Players can control unique heroes, each with different abilities, as they adventure through procedurally generated levels and pick up randomly dropped weapons. Play Gunfire Reborn alone or cooperatively with up to three other players. Jacob, tell us about Gunfire Reborn.
So, with this one, if you were a fan of Borderlands back in the day and like you just enjoyed running around places, shooting up people, collecting new weapons, and then doing it all over again, Gunfire Reborn is really going to be right up your alley. So it's set in this kind of like fantasy-ish, like, I don't know, like it's like they've got like obviously like modern tech, but at the same time, everything looks like it's like set up in like fantasy and ancient civilization areas, so that part's not all that clear. And there are a bunch of different players or characters that you can unlock to play as. However, all of them are locked. Through progression, through experience progression, and so like you have to level up to be able to unlock, you know, the next guy. So you're so when you start the game, you're stuck with this like little squirrel cat looking. Kind of character that you're can dash around and cat. Throw it. I don't know what the heck it is. anyway, so the game teaches you, like, you know, this is how you do this, and it's not entirely clear, but at the same time, I'm just like, whatever, because, you know, I've played games like this before. And get ready to die, because that's going to be happening in this game. And when you die, if you don't have like something attached, like some sort of item attached that like allows you to have extra lives, you're allowed to use these like soul points. I'm not sure what they're actually called, but you use those and you can, you know, revive yourself if you want to. If not, then you just have to give up where you are and you just collect all the loot and stuff that you got, you know, where you were, and then you start up a new adventure. I wasn't able to play it with anybody else for whatever reason. I don't know if nobody else is playing it or... Oh, wait, no. Actually, I do know why I can't. I don't have a high enough level yet. So...
That
so
it the wasn't game out you- yet. So it's out now.
Well, yeah, all right, fair. But Dingles. Anyway... Why is nobody online? Because nobody else is playing it?
Maybe we could do an update on this one next week after you've put some online.
Yeah, I mean, I am, like, this is, spoiler, this is a game I'm going to be keeping on my Xbox for the time being. So, but yeah, so you run around the levels, and you pick up new guns, you get abilities, and, you know, you find new weapons, you can decide if you want to swap them for what you've already, like, as opposed to what you've already got. When you, the first time you die, you're going to discover that your weapons suck, but as you keep coming back to on all these adventures and stuff, you know, obviously you're going to find better weapons almost every single time that you go through these. And so once, you know, your character gets stronger and you've, like, given them new abilities and you've equipped new weapons and stuff like that, the runs are going to get easier and easier each time. And yeah, so it's just, I didn't really have, like, I mean, it, I wish the text was bigger, so, like, I wasn't, like, squinting at my screen. But SML Podcast is slowly becoming, like, the old people's podcast, because, you know, this is becoming a frequent thing that we complain about.
I can't read the goddamn text.
Yep. And, you know, of course, because nobody includes manuals anymore, because we digitally get everything, you know, it's like, oh, good, so, like, I'll just access the manual, which, you know, is going to be the same exact size. But anyway, but yeah, I was having plenty of fun with it. I mean, it's this usual roguelite progression that you would expect. You know, it's going to get easier as you, you know, get better. So, yeah. You know, get good, scrub. But yeah, I was having a ton of fun with it.
And Carnage the achievements says to play are with him. So
who?
Carnage.
Oh, says to play we'll with see. Him. I don't know. His breath is funny, but
and yours isn't.
Well, I mean, I can't smell mine through the mic. Wait, that's not how that works. Damn it. All right, that was a good joke in my head. Anyway.
No, it wasn't.
Shut up. It was good in my
really
head.
It really wasn't.
Aki, I don't care about your opinion on this one.
You really should this time.
No. No, I'm not listening. Well, anyway.
Unfortunately, the only opinion that matters right now is yours about Gunfire Reborn.
Hold on. Hold on. There's also a ton of achievements in this game, and sure to piss off all the people who prefer need to have their gamer score end in a 0 or a 5. There are a lot of, like, 1, 2, and 3 point achievements in this.
Sweet.
And the thing is that it's just like, I didn't even look to see how much the values were when I was starting the game. And so I was like, oh, wow. You know, like, after a few run throughs, you know, I've unlocked like 6 achievements. How much are they worth? 6 points. I have 6 points in this game. So, yeah, so this is going to be a while to get to 1,000. But yeah, I'm having tons of fun with it.
Cool. Well, it's $20. What's your verdict?
For $20, absolutely. Like, this is going to be a lot of fun to play with other people, so hopefully Carnage and I can play this and some Ghostbusters later on.
For $20 and 6 achievement points, what is it? Oh, God. All right, next game, Gas Station Simulator, developed by Dragon Entertainment, published by MD Games. Released October 21st on Xbox One for $19.99. Gas Station Simulator is all about renovating, expanding, and running a gas station along a highway in the middle of a desert. Freedom of choice and multiple approaches to run your business and deal with pressure are key ingredients in this game. Jacob, what is this game? And since you're in the middle of a desert, do you see the bus from Desert Bus?
You do not see the bus.
Motherfucker.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that bus doesn't travel along Route 66, or maybe it only came by, like, you know, while I was, like, inside the store, like, spray painting and stuff like that.
Maybe. But what is this game?
So, pretty much, this game is, if you were someone who sat there playing Power Wash Simulator earlier this year, and were like, man, I really wish this game also was a business sim, then boy howdy, do we have a game for you. Because there's an actual story in here too, like not one that you're just like picking up through like random text from other characters and stuff like that. There are actual like cutscenes and stuff. So what it is you've been given this gas station by your uncle, who is like the uncle that nobody in the family talks to, that he wants you to revitalize and, you know, bring up and stuff like that. And it turns out, like, once you get there, that you find out, you know, once you've got it up and running, that it turns out that he wants you to, like, you know, do some shady shit for him. Because it turns out, like, this guy's, like, in the mob. So pretty much, first off, you have to get the gas station back to working. So you have to get the pumps, you know, working. You have to get the lights turned on. You have to make the place look, you know, nice. Like, you have to, like, sweep the floors, paint it on the outside, paint it on the inside, if you so choose. Upgrade the buildings. And, you know, the buildings get unlocked as you achieve more stuff in the game. So, like, initially you just start off with the gas station, and, like, the game notifies you that there's a couple of other buildings you can run around in, but they don't seem that important at the time. Like, there's an actual,
you know,
like,
what is important? The fact that Stagorilla just paid $5 to promote a message that says waffles are the best. And to that, all we can do is let George take it away with...
What? Pancakes!
Right? So...
Listen here, fuck snort.
What? Cool pancakes!
Fucking yeah!
There we go. We got all the sound effects. Continue with Gas Station Simulator.
I'm more of a French toast person myself.
Shut the fuck up.
But anyway. So there's like a little mini arcade that you can like fool around in another building, but it doesn't seem to be that important just yet. And of course, like, you have to like beautify the area because nobody's been fucking around with this thing for a while. And so, like, what used to be a parking lot now has like a sand dune in it. So you have to like get into your little bulldozer and shove the sand somewhere else. Preferably, like, you know, my gaping asshole or something. But
fall into the abyss.
So after you've started upgrading, then you're given like shelves, and so you can start making this into a convenience store. And that's where it started getting a little difficult, in my opinion, because then you have to start deciding like what are you going to stock with it. And like, there was a lot of stuff to, like, there's a lot of stuff to do, and I'm assuming eventually I can get help, you know, to do this. But like, once you start stocking stuff for people to buy in your store, then there's like a conveyor belt mini game, and the game doesn't explain it that well. And so people were either getting pissy with me because I didn't ring up their order, and they're like, seriously? Like, you know, and I'm like, lady, I'm trying to figure out how the hell this damn game mechanic works. Or they got like half of their shit for free, and like, you know, I only rang them up for like a single like Snickers bar. And so that was kind of annoying. Because yeah, the game doesn't really which is an issue with a lot of like simulator games, is that the games don't really go in depth, in their tutorials with what you're supposed to do. And it's just like, once I started having to like man, like, you know, the register inside the store, pump the gas, all this other kind of stuff, it started getting overwhelming pretty quick. And then on top of it, you have to deal with like regular maintenance of like the damn gas station. And because you're out in the desert, like, the game tells you, oh, you're gonna have to repaint the gas station every once in a while. Yeah, every fucking day. Like, it literally ends up becoming every day, because one side of the gas station will get hit with like this sandy wind, I guess. And like, all of a sudden, like, one side will just start looking like shit.
Fall into the abyss.
On top of my gaping butthole. With the dumbass neighbor's kid who like will spray paint dicks all over your gas station, which, by the way, I am not making up the fact that they are spray painting dicks on the gas station. That is an actual thing. And a credit to the artists for this game for coming up with so many different graffiti dicks. God bless them.
Screenshot of that now.
I will fire up the game and I'll get you some. But anyways, like, yeah, so you end up having to chase off the kid.
Don't share it to Xbox Live. I don't want you to get banned.
Well, I mean, it's in a game, so it's...
They've banned people for that before.
That's dumb. But yeah, so... crud. Oh, yeah, and then you have to, like, throw shit at them to make them... Hold on, I'm about to sneeze.
Do it.
Oh, that was annoying. Like, it never... It's, like, it's just... Much like me on my antidepressants, it's just not coming. Anyway, so...
my concern, everyone is saying that this is perfect for people who liked Power Washing Sim, but you're telling me all these business aspects that just sound like they're stressful.
For me, it was like, I felt like, honestly, if there was like something in the game where it's just like, oh yeah, you can hire some help, and it happened like early on, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, here, man the fucking register while I go, like, deal with all the other shit around, like, the place. But it's just, like, so far in the game, that help has yet to, like, show up, if it even exists. So it's like, fucking A, man. this simulator game throws a lot at you, and it is not a simple, like, oh, just gonna power wash the side of this building. Like, you know, it's not like, oh, just gonna pump some gas. No, it's, you're going to pump some gas, you're going to paint the building, you're going to sell, like, chips to, like, some angry lady, you're going to, like, throw a tire at the neighbor's kid so he doesn't, like, spray paint your shit.
Carnage is posting a link to an infinite money glitch that was found.
Ooh.
So,
the only glitches that matter.
Yep.
don't know how long that'll be in the game. It might get patched, you never know. Or it might be intentional. You never know.
Even God, if it's not so. Intentional, usually these games don't get patched that much, if at all. So.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to check that out. But yeah, like, in theory, it's fun, but there's a lot that it throws at you right at the start. And so, you know, there's. I don't know. It's a definite try it. I wish I could, like, immediately recommend it, but, like, once the business started to expand, like, once I actually had to do more than just, like, pump gas into, like, people's cars and, like, make a gas station look pretty, like, once it really tossed in that business aspect, I was just like, oh, shit, this is a bit much.
Yeah, that's my concern with it, so I'll still give it a try. It looks interesting, so... And they're fun. I've been getting a kick out of these simulator games. So, the genre I never knew I enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, Power Wash Simulator was like, holy shit, it's one of my favorite games of this year. So I was expecting Gas Station Simulator to be up that alley. So yeah, I'm gonna try to get that infinite money glitch, and hopefully I can start hiring people. Because Lord knows I need him.
All right, well, next game is Sofstar, developed by Banana Bytes, published by Red Art Games, released October 28th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $12.99. Sub-Lieutenant Soph has lived in a Galanian for her whole life, having no memory of when her existence started and no idea of how she developed her teleporting powers. After being sent for a recon mission, all of what she knows about herself is about to change. Jacob, what is going on in this one?
That's a good question, because there are a lot of walls of text in this one. So it's a top-down shmup, and there surprisingly is a plot in it, but I didn't get really around to reading much of it because I was trying to figure out, you know, what the heck you do in the game. So with the, like, which of course in retrospect would probably have been helpful, but anyway, so with this top-down shooter set in the future, you're in a spacecraft and you're trying to destroy all the enemies. The nice thing about this one is that right from the get-go, there are a bunch of different ships and pilots that you can choose from, and each of them have different strengths. And as you move through the game, you're going to unlock more characters that you can play as, and each one of them, like, if one of them doesn't match your playstyle, there's another pilot that you could try out and see how theirs goes. Like, honestly, like, even though I had mine set to child settings, which is, you know, I assume the journalist setting on this one, you know, so I was not able to beat the first boss with the first one that they give you. But meanwhile, I discovered swapping it over to a different pilot in their ship. All of a sudden, I'm now in this thing that fires like 5 shots forward and 2 shots back, and I'm annihilating everything on the damn screen. Yeah, I don't worry. I still died after beating the first boss, but you know, I got farther along. So the nice thing about this game is that even though it's insanely, like, I found it to be very difficult. I almost said insanely, but it's not really that insanely difficult. I also just kind of suck at these games. But so even though it is difficult, and the game thankfully does, like, it plays out like an arcade game, it does have credits, you know, you can pop back into the quote-unquote machine and, you know, continue the game, although your high score will not get uploaded online. But yeah, you know, there's a lot to be able to do in this game with the different characters, and just like checking out all their different abilities and figuring out what works. And honestly, I had more fun with this one than some of the other shmups that I've had to play for this podcast. And it's just, I think it's just at because of that fact that at the very beginning you could figure out like who you want to, like, you know, what is your play style, not necessarily the, like, judging on the difficulty of the game, but like, what do you need to be able to like defeat your enemies? You will find like a plane or spaceship or whatever you want to call them that you can use for this. And so I really enjoyed that fact with this one. It's a solid one.
Cool. So $13, your verdict.
Oh shit. Seriously? That's it.
Yes. Oh yeah. $12.99. Yeah. I said it at the beginning.
I don't listen to you at the beginning.
People should.
Or at all. No. No, we shouldn't. But anyways, yes, absolutely, for 12, $13. Yeah.
Cool. All right, next up, last game for you to talk about is Runout, developed by Sergio Polveroni, published by Rattle Lake Games, released October 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Runout is a dynamic runner platformer with logical riddles in the setting of the future. Players always run, but when they collide with any obstacle, they turn in the opposite direction. The mechanics involve harnessing abilities to jump, shoot, speed up, and slow down time that will allow them to pass the levels. Jacob, what is Runout?
So with Runout, and by, you know, the future, aka it's a cyberpunk future. That's what it's going to be. It very much reminds me of Blade Runner, even a little bit of like the Citadel from Mass Effect, with some of the designs of the ships that you see around there. But anyway, yeah, so it is a runner platformer, and you need to go through the levels, pick up various items, and get to the next area. And there are two difficulty settings. It's easy or normal. Easy lets you decide like which way which direction you're going to be running in on the fly. Meanwhile, if you play it normally, that's decided, you know, by the game. So on easy, it's just like, all right, well, I want to be going left. You know, hooray, I could just do that immediately. Meanwhile, in the game, if I want to turn left, like, well, shit out of luck, man, you're running right now, so you better run into a wall eventually. Yeah, it's difficult. I don't know if I've really played a game like this before, and so it took a lot of getting used to for me, even on the easy setting. And but yeah, so I'm pretty much just running through the levels, and you have to jump, and there are puzzles throughout, and eventually you gain other abilities, like, and going into certain areas will do various things. Like, there is like an anti-gravity thing, and so eventually you'll be able to like run along on the ceilings in certain areas, or you could slow down time, which, I mean, I guess that there's going to be puzzles where that's useful for later on. I did not finish this game, but I have yet to find that slow down time thing to be actually useful at all. But yeah, it looks nice, like, you know, and it plays okay. I haven't played enough in this kind of this genre of platformers to really give an opinion as to like where it is on, you know, is this the worst like example of it or the best? I don't really know, but I found it was trickier than I would have liked, but I can understand why some people would have like would appreciate the challenge that this game presents. And it was interesting, at least. Like it kept my attention, even if I found it to be very frustrating at times.
Well, in true Rattle Lake form, it is a fairly easy completion as well. It doesn't require completing the game, obviously. It just requires you to go through like 7 levels, something like that,
to get 1,000. Suck. Yeah, it's not much.
Yeah, it's not much. So if you're looking for easy achievements, this is $5. What do you think?
Either way, it would have been a fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
/ try it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, for $5, you can't lose. Not necessarily.
That is it for you, Jacob.
Thank God.
Yeah, no shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Good. Maybe I will do tweets. Maybe I won't.
Good.
You won't know.
You don't know. I won't. You don't know me. I run with gangs.
I'm going to go deal with a sick family.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah.
Is the whole family sick?
So here's the fun thing. I mean, so Sam got the positive result for COVID at school. Silas got inconclusive. But both of their kids' energy levels are just, you know,
undefeated.
I would not be surprised if it's like a false positive, because it's just they're running around. Meanwhile, my wife she's super sick, but like there's also like a flu going around, RSV's going around, and of course COVID is there too. So I don't know what the crap she has. And meanwhile, I feel generally fatigued all day, and I wake up with like a scratchy throat, but it's just, yeah. So I am quote unquote the least sick in the house. Yay.
Well, all right, I'm getting the fuck out. Try to take care, send the best to the family, and I guess we will chat with you next week on the show.
Hopefully, because, I mean, I've got a bunch of games I got to review. Damn it.
Yay. You have any final words?
I thought that was my final words.
Okay, well, then why fucking leave.
Why are you still talking to me?
Why are you in here?
Because I'm on my phone trying to get out of Discord.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck is wrong?
My phone was freaking locked. Jesus. I hate you. I'm fucking quitting this podcast.
Good, you're fired. Can you imagine it, like, if I could keep a straight face through this shit? Oh, man, we'd be so good at arguing. Next game, 41 Hours, developed by Texelworks, published by East Asia Soft. Released October 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. 41 Hours is a first-person shooter dramatic game that follows the narrative of Ethan, a workaholic scientist in search of his long-lost wife. The story is intriguing, and it takes several surprising turns as it develops over 11 chapters and 20 hours of gameplay. Aki, what is going on in 41 Hours?
Okay, and this, you play as Ethan. I'm so glad his name is Ethan, because any character that's nothing like he is, I end up calling Ethan, because I associate them with Ethan Winters. So good. I'm glad his name's actually Ethan. You start this in the middle of nowhere, really. Apparently, some person has teleported here from another universe or something and has taken over the world, and you decided, apparently, fuck that, but not to join the resistance. You just, I guess, decided fuck that. I don't know. And the main reason why is because there's this cyborg girl who is really hot. So you're like, yeah. And yeah, that's the entire plot, mostly. You're trying to keep her from self-destructing. Apparently, she hasn't had an update or something, and therefore has been set to automatically self-destruct. So you're trying to stop that. That's the entire plot of the game that has any real relevance to anything. Most of these areas are fairly wide open, filled with stuff. Not stuff you can readily interact with, mostly, but just stuff. Things exist. Not living things, mind you, just things like trees and buildings occasionally, mountains, stuff.
Okay.
And it's a first-person shooter when there is fighting, and you usually find areas where there's a bunch of fighting and then large chunks of nothing. You walking to the next part where you go and fight.
A lot of downtime in the game.
Yeah. You do get some... I like the concept behind the game, and I like some of the abilities you have in it. You, right near the get-go, you're given basically control of two characters at the same time. You can tell Miss Cyborg to run up to enemies and blow herself up? which kills all the enemies around her. Yay! You don't have to deal with them. And then you also get the ability immediately after that to turn invisible yourself. It runs out really quickly, not super useful, but hey, whatever. It's something. And you get 6 different guns you get to play with throughout the entire campaign. If you get to level yourself up, you get experience for killing enemies, and occasionally you find little intel things that give you a small amount of experience as well. You really don't need to pick up any of those because there's more than enough enemies to level you to max long, 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 long before the game actually finishes. I think I was there at like chapter 4 out of 12 or something like that. I don't remember anymore. Some of the upgrades are, you know, you can give yourself more energy, which is what things like your stealth and some of your other abilities use up. Your health, how many weapons you can carry. You can eventually make it to where you can carry all 6 of the different guns the game has, just so you have lots of ammo, because you're going to be using a lot of ammo in this. Then there's, you know, like killing enemies gives you X amount of energy back, and you can pull it from a larger distance. I think were most, if not all, of the different things you could upgrade. And for this game, as I said, there's a lot of nothing and then enemy fighting. When I say enemy fighting, I don't mean like, oh, here's 2 or 3 guys. I mean, here's like 18 to 20 something enemies that just appear in front of you. Have fun.
Weird.
They're all like teleporting into existence or something. Because there's like a flash of electricity and some will just spawn, and then a flash of electricity and some more will spawn, and it'll keep doing that until they're all spawned. And realistically, you can kill them just as fast as they can spawn, if not faster, generally. So, but that's a lot of bullets you're going to be using regardless. Every so often you have different things you have to do, like, oh, he's like, oh, I need to do this, so I need all of these things. And they'll actually show up. You can click, I think it's the back button, and it'll basically show you where all the groupings of enemies are and where all the objects are that you need to get in order to finish said level. And usually enemies are around that and in between those. So have fun. You're going to end up killing almost all the enemies in the entire level by the time you're done with the level, just because that's kind of the way you have to do it. The game's overall fairly bland, sadly. I like the concept and I like some of the abilities, but the game is extremely bland outside of that. It's not even a matter of polish. It's just so bland. Which is really sad, because, the concept of, parallel worlds and using robotics to destroy things and stuff like that, that interests me. I like robots. I don't care if they're big ones you can pilot or small ones that you can have sex with. It doesn't matter. They're all robots, and I like them all. being able to go invisible, and you eventually get, I think it's only one other ability. It's where you slow down time, basically, for everyone but you. You still move at the normal speed, and so do your bullets. So it's really fun. That's the ability you use. Once you unlock that, that's the only ability you use, because invisibility is fucking useless. Because if you fire a single shot, your invisibility is undone. You can immediately set it back up, but then enemies are already shooting at you, so fuck it. You might as well just go super slow and shoot them all in the head real quick and just move on and turn it off and move on.
Yeah. Well, the game is sitting at $20. What are your thoughts on it?
I think this is a try it at best, because again, it's really fucking bland. Has some cool concepts. Yeah, maybe if this one's just maybe a try. This is a tentative try. If it looks even remotely interesting to you, try it. If it doesn't, you're not missing much. So whatever.
All right. Well, next up is The Eternal Cylinder, developed by Ace Team, published by Good Shepherd, released October 13th on Steam for $24.99. Control a herd of charming creatures called Trebum and explore an unforgettable alien world filled with exotic life forms and surreal environments. Discover dozens of mutations to overcome puzzles, explore new biomes, and survive on a dangerous planet. Andy Sperry covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what he's got to say. Welcome to the world of Little Trebum. Born into this alien world with the sense of danger that is close, very close, the ground begins to shake as a wall of devastation and death comes rolling from behind the nest, destroying everything in its path. This is the Eternal Cylinder. What appears to be a never-ending mass of fire and electricity stretches beyond the ability to see. Afraid and weak, Trebums are tenacious and their will to survive and adapt is strong. A voice inside the Trebum's head tells it to run towards an enormous pillar that's linked to another by way of light in the sky, a beacon. Reaching the large pillar just in time, a small light pad activates, a force field that stops the cylinder in its tracks. For how long, no one knows, but for now the Trebum is safe. The Trebum must find its family, survive, and find a way to stop the Eternal Cylinder. This is the framework for the game Eternal Cylinder, which was developed by Ace Team and published by Good Shepherd Entertainment. That voice inside the Trebum's head is Peter Hayden, who narrates the game in full, giving it a wildlife documentary feel. This touch was good company through the journey of the small creature who is learning to adapt and survive on a hostile planet. The player controls a Trebum, a small bipedal creature with a round body and a large trunk. The trunk is used like a vacuum to pull items found and store them in the body. The function also works in reverse. A total of 3 items may be stored in one Trebum at a time, and up to 10 of each item. The items range from fruit, flora, and alien edibles, which are imaginative in design. I'd be down for some alien edibles. They allow the Trebum to restore water and hunger stats, both of which are necessary for survival and displayed on screen. They can even be used to mutate or transform the Trebum. Transformation is the Trebum's hidden ability and allows the Trebum to overcome any trial set in its path. Once able to transform at will using methods now lost to memory, some transformations include the ability to glow in the dark or travel through caves, longer legs to jump higher, a trumpet to scare away predators, and even a balloon body that allows them to fly. There are over 50 unique combinations and abilities to and survive the harsh terrain and its alien inhabitants. The player is not left to journey alone either. New Trebums can be found along the way in eggs, which require a heat source to hatch, or are found in heated pods that require materials to trade for them to join your party. As more Trebum are collected, the party size can be upgraded at certain shrines. Stats like stamina, health, hunger, and water meters can also be upgraded with a sparkling rock found in the elder caves or shrines. Elder caves and shrines are found within certain zones marked by a beam of light from the pillar that has stopped the cylinder. Caves require a certain number of Trebums to activate and contain puzzles leading to elder Trebums who share future objective information. Some shrines are also found along the surface that provide the ability to revive a lost Trebum or store more for future use if the party is filled. The cylinder is massive, destroying everything in its path and leaving nothing behind. The only things holding it at bay, as mentioned before, are the towers that the Trebums can activate. Once activated, the Trebum are allowed to explore the area of the map within a target zone, but leaving that zone reactivates the cylinder. Sometimes the tower doesn't hold, and it's a race to the next tower to stop the cylinder, avoiding as much of the planetary environment as possible. There's 4 different biomes within the planet: savanna, desert, tundra, and infected. Each biome requires the player to adapt and evolve, like finding a plant that gives the Trebums fur to survive the cold, or fruit that provides better water consumption in the desert. Each biome also has their own group of alien life forms, which are beyond imagination. arms, legs, and trunks accompanied by leathery wings, large sacks, or strange amount of teeth make these creatures truly indescribable. Some were giant flying creatures shining a red beam of light down on the planet. Others were massive worms that reached up to the sky and spit toxic gas, like Jacob, or made lightning rain down on the Trebums. New creatures exist within the different biomes, and all are threats to the Trebum, as they are one of the lowest creatures on the food chain, again like Jacob. Then there are the servants of the cylinder that singled out the Trebums and sought to destroy them. These beasts were more than humanoid, but were mutated with vehicles or machinery and used an eerie yellow light to rid the Trebums of their powers. Some of these servants lie behind the cylinder, which opened up a whole new side to the story. This is a story about strength, perseverance, and family. It's about the will to survive and the impact such a small creature has on its surroundings while learning about the past and pushing for a better future. As the game progresses, the player learns new things about the world, changes opinions about things they thought they knew, gains new insights into life and the flowing destruction. There's seriously so much to the game that it was extremely hard to put down. So much can be discovered, possibilities and playstyle can all change based on the player. Beautiful landscapes paired with gripping original soundtrack makes this a truly fantastic game that is definitely worth purchasing. I hope you enjoy it to the end. That was a really good review. Better than,
yeah, no problems with it.
Better than what you friggin' people do.
Hey, I do good. Fuck you. Eat a dick. I'm amazing. That's Jacob's, and I know
job
it.
Is to eat dicks.
Well, that is true.
Taking a drink. I talked a lot. Last game to talk about tonight is The Last Days of Lazarus, developed by Grim Talon and Arcania Works, published by Grim Talon, released October 28th on Xbox Series X and S for $19.99, coming November 29th for PS5. After their mother's suicide, Lazarus returns home to his sister, Liumilla. Do they say it in the game? How the hell do you say that name?
It's Liumilla.
Liumilla, okay. But unexplained events make the world and even reality collapse around him. Looming death, a spreading malediction, and the supernatural threatens his sanity, yet Lazarus pushes forward to find the truth about his family. Aki, what is going on in The Last Days of Lazarus?
Well, these are the last days of Lazarus.
helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
You play as Lazarus.
That's the game.
This is mostly a walking sim. It has some very minor puzzles occasionally, but it's almost exclusively just a walking sim, and just immersing yourself in the very fucked up world. You have just returned from a job with who knows what, but it doesn't seem like it was particularly legal, and it seems like you kind of pissed off your boss. And that's about the extent of your jobs. So you've come home because your mother has passed away from hanging herself. A woman who is, like, super duper extremely, like, psychotically religious. Like, someone who very clearly would not kill themselves because that is against the rules. That would send you straight to hell. In case you hadn't figured out, this is a very religious game. and so, you know, so you have come back to help your sister deal with stuff and to lay low. Realistically, it's to lay low because you're a dick. You show up at her apartment. It's unlocked because she left it unlocked for you. But she's gone and you don't know fucking where. So you go off, you find clues saying, oh, she might be here. So you go there, and then you get pulled into what seems like a coup that's happening with it from the military to the military, because the military kind of runs this country. You just, whilst dealing with this, you're with this militaristic issue that is now part of your life. You're also just dealing with the fact that you don't really know your father, nor does your sister, because the dude left when y'all were children. And you're just trying to deal with your family shit, and gets very religious very quick, and very anti-Christy. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's an odd one. just it's a very good looking game. I'm not going to say it's beautiful, but it is a good looking game. The characters are really well done. The environments are fairly well done. It's very out there with everything it deals with. For instance, one of the various religious things that you deal with is not the Christian, not exactly a proper Christian religion, where it's like monks that have super abilities and stuff, and they're training children to become saints and shit. And like, one of their abilities is they can bring things back from the dead and, you know, grow flowers out of nowhere and turn gold into like the philosopher's stone and shit like that. So it's like, it's kind of all over there and very weird and extremely Catholic, for better or for worse, on that realistically. And yeah, it's just, it's very weird. It's hard to explain just how weird it is without giving away kind of important chunks of the story. So yeah, it's otherwise it's a walking sim. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's $20. What do you think?
I think it's worth it. I thought it was a good game back when it came out on PC a year or two ago, whenever it was. And I reviewed it for us. And it's just as good on the Xbox port.
Plays well on console, no issues there.
None whatsoever. It plays extremely well on consoles.
Cool. Well, that is it. We made it through.
Busty boobies for everybody.
What?
I don't know.
Either.
I was just thinking about a part of The Last Days of Lazarus. There's a really busty lady who has a lot of cleavage showing.
Of course you're thinking about that. Anyway, music this episode, we are going to play something from our good friend Stemmage. We are going to play the song Dead Flip off of Spookage Volume 1. Go check out that album. The link will be in the description below. So go check that out. Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
Busty boobies for everybody.
Like good words to end the show.
I thought that was pretty good words.
Like good words to end the show.
Good words.
To end the show.
To end the show. There you go.